Praise the Lord, people. Let's open up our hymnal to hymn number 32. And we need to stand for this hymn because it talks about us being Christian soldiers. Amen. Marching. We're marching according to the beat of the Lord's drum. I'm so glad of that. We no longer march according to the beat of the world's or the devil's drum. Hymn number 32. The what? Lord's Supper would be the first Sunday of May. May. This is the first Sunday of May. June. We just had it. But the first, about 3 weeks ago. Yeah, but the first Sunday of June we'll have it. Praise the Lord for that. And also we're having an evangelist in June. I'll get you all more information on Bob Holmes, the one-man volleyball team. Bob, he's quite a character. He is a one-man volleyball team. He goes to high schools, preaches the gospel, and challenges the kids. They can put as many students on the court, and he's the only guy on the other side of the net. And he beats them every time. We're going to have fun that day. He'll be with us both services in June. I think it's the 8th. Ah, praise the Lord, people. It's so good to be a child of the King and to know we're on our way to heaven in this crazy world with all the evil we see going on. To know that Jesus Christ is on the throne, his train's running on schedule, and he's coming back quick. Amen? Hymn number 32, we will sing the first, third, and fourth. Amen. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching us to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go. Onward, Christian soldier, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Like the mighty army, lose the church of God. Amen. Brothers, we are treading where the saints have trod. We are not divided, but one body we, one in hope and doctrine, one in charity. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Onward then, ye people, join the happy throng, blend with us your voices in the triumph song. Glory, love, and honor unto Christ the King. This through endless ages men and angels sing. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Glory to God. Please be seated, church. What a blessing to know that we have been enlisted into the Lord's army. Amen. And we are not AWOL tonight. We are in his house and we are worshiping the King, our Commander-in-Chief, by the way. Oh, praise the Lord for that. Great words. I like stanza 2. It says, at the sign of triumph, Satan's host doth flee. On then, Christian soldier, on to victory. Hell's foundations quiver at the shout of praise. Brothers, lift your voices, loud your anthems raise. Oh, boy. The devil can't take it when you can't stand it when you worship the Lord Jesus Christ. He turned tail and run every time. Glory to God. Let's grab our Bibles tonight, church. Does anybody need a bumper sticker? Anybody at all? Anybody want to repent of their road rage and take one? Maybe on this side of the church. We'll get her hot, right? Praise the Lord. Grab your Bibles tonight and open them up anywhere. It's all good. Yeah. Oh, glory to God. Yes, indeed. Mm-hmm. Don't you just love it? Tonight, folks, I'm really excited tonight because of the new area we're getting into. We're still, of course, in the Millennial Kingdom, our studies on the Millennial Kingdom. We'll be on the Millennial Kingdom for quite some time, church, because there is so much material to cover. The Bible is so full of knowledge and information concerning the kingdom that is yet to come. It is just glorious. But here tonight, we're on week number 5, the Millennial Kingdom, part 5. Israel in the Millennial Kingdom is my topic tonight. I will not exhaust it. We will have more weeks on Israel in the Millennial Kingdom because the Bible has so much to say about the elect nation and their activities during the 1,000 years. And you know, we're not going to leave you Gentiles out. We'll be getting to that. We'll be getting to the church. We'll be getting to different ministries throughout the 1,000 years. But tonight, Israel in the Millennium. Now, in week one, let's review quickly. Review. Week one, we saw reasons for our belief in the Millennial Kingdom. Why we believe there is a coming 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ on earth, clearly. Second week, we saw characteristics of that kingdom. It will be a righteous reign. It will be a glorious reign. It will be Jesus Christ on earth. Thirdly, we saw the government of that kingdom. And it took us 2 weeks, of course, for that. Week three, we saw the king of the kingdom in the government. And week four, we saw the government concerning the Gentile branch and the Jewish branches of the millennial government. It will be a worldwide universal government, headed up by none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, Messiah, King, Savior, and Lord. Now, Israel, within the period of the kingdom age, is a major theme of the Old Testament prophets. And because of the massive amount of prophetic revelation concerning the elect nation Israel in the millennium, we will divide this material into 8 major divisions. First, we'll look tonight at the 4 facets of the final restoration of Israel. There are 4 facets to it. We'll see that. We'll probably just get the first one tonight because they're so involved. Secondly, we're going to look at characteristics of Israel's final restoration. Thirdly, we'll see the millennial mountain of the Lord's house. Fourthly, we'll see the millennial temple itself. The Bible is chock full of knowledge on all these topics, folks. Fifthly, we'll see the millennial system of priesthood and sacrifice. Sixthly, we'll see the millennial river. Glory to God. Seventh, we'll see the millennial Israel. And eighthly, we'll see the millennial Jerusalem. Oh, what a place that will be. So tonight, we'll begin our study on the 4 facets of the final restoration of Israel. Now, folks, these 4 facets of Israel's final restoration are each based upon specific Jewish covenants. Remember, there are how many Jewish covenants made in the Bible? Anybody? How many altogether did God make with the nation Israel? 5, right? There was 5 Jewish covenants. Can anybody name them? The Jewish covenants. We have the first one is simple. A for Abraham. Come on, church, wake up. You have the Abrahamic covenant, right? Don't worry, you can get the tape. We have the Abrahamic covenant. We have the Davidic covenant. We have the Palestinian covenant. We have the New Covenant, and we have one covenant that is a conditional covenant called the Mosaic Covenant. The other 4 are unconditional, folks. That means God will do certain things regardless of man. Now, tonight, we're going to look at the first facet of the final restoration of Israel, and that is the national regeneration of Israel. One of my favorite topics, the fact that all Israel will be regenerated spiritually, born again in a day. The Bible teaches this clearly. Now, the basis for this facet of Israel's restoration is the new covenant. Remember, I told you, all four facets have to do with four unconditional covenants. So, the regeneration of Israel has to do with the new covenant for them. The second facet will be the regathering of Israel, which is based upon the Palestinian covenant. I don't like to use that term, but it's the land covenant. The Palestinian covenant is the land covenant, okay? They will be regathered to their own land. The third facet will be the full possession of that land, which is based upon the Abrahamic covenant, where God promised Abraham and his seed that they would possess that land forever. They will. And the fourth facet will be the reestablishment of the Davidic throne, which is based upon the Davidic covenant. That makes sense, doesn't it? Now, remember, all four of these covenants are totally unconditional. It means God will fulfill all of the promises in each of the four covenants to the nation Israel. Okay, now in the first facet of the restoration, Israel must receive national regeneration. This, the new covenant, promised them. The timing of this event we saw clearly when we studied the eight stages of the second coming. We saw Israel regenerated. Remember that? Somebody tell us, when did that occur? When is Israel to be regenerated? When?
The end of the tribulation.
Right. Not during the church age. We're talking about national regeneration. The elect nation. That will be at the end of the tribulation period, Ellie said. She's absolutely correct. At the end of the tribulation period, Messiah comes down and Israel receives him, unlike 2,000 years ago. And they are born again. They receive the Spirit of God. We're going to see that tonight. Now, the timing of this event we saw is at the end of Daniel's 70th week, at the second coming of Messiah. Go with me to Jeremiah chapter 31. In Jeremiah 31, we have the promise of the regeneration of Israel under a new covenant. Okay? Jeremiah 31. And look with me here in Jeremiah chapter 31. We have five specific promises being made here, all five to Israel. Okay? Not to Gentiles. These promises are to Israel. I'm going to show you that. First, he promises them that it will involve all 12 tribes of Israel. Not just some of the Jews, but all of the Jews. Look at me at verse 31. Jeremiah 31, 31. We read in verse 31, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a what?
New covenant."
New covenant. With who?
House of Israel.
The house of Israel. Not with Gentiles. This is a Jewish covenant, folks. A new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Now, notice here how in verse 31 he names both houses of Israel. The northern 10 tribes called Israel and the southern 2 tribes called Judah. That means this will involve all 12 tribes. It will involve all Israel. And they shall be one stick in the hand of the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. The second promise he makes them is that the old covenant will be completely abolished. Look at verse 32. Verse 32, he says, "This covenant will be not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt." Somebody tell me, what covenant was that? Begins with an M. Mosaic. That was the Mosaic covenant. The old covenant. "Which my covenant they break, although I wasn't husband unto them, saith the Lord." So he promises them here that it will have nothing to do whatsoever with the Mosaic covenant. These people who want to put you under the law of Moses, they're out of bounds. They don't know what they're talking about. That covenant has been abolished forever. Now, the third promise he makes here in Jeremiah 31 is that they will be spiritually regenerated. Look at verse 33. "But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord." After what days? After what days? Tribulation. He's talking contextually of when it will occur. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law. Now, how do we know that? Because this has never occurred in history. They've never received the Holy Spirit. Now, individual Jews have, sure. We have individual Jews saved, and they're what we call a complete Jew. They're part of the remnant of Israel today. They're true believers. They're part of the church. Jews who get saved, they're part of the church. Now, look here, he says, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. That people he addressed in verse 31, those Jews, that's what he's talking about. Now, how can he put it in their heart and in the inward parts? What does that take? What do you have within you that causes you to obey God and seek his face? What do you have? The Holy Spirit. They will receive the Holy Spirit. That means they'll be regenerated. Right now, Israel elect is in unbelief. God's not happy with them. But one day they will come to salvation and spiritual regeneration. Now, fourth promise he makes to them here is that Jewish missions, like Ariel Ministries, Dr. Fruchtenbaum's incredible ministry to the Jews, and evangelism, Jewish evangelism, will be totally unnecessary during this time period. Look at verse 34. In verse 34, he says, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, his Jewish neighbor, and every man his brother, his Jewish brother, saying, know the Lord. Why? For they shall all know me, saith the Lord. Did you see that? From the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. Every Jew that is alive at this time period, whatever he's speaking of, is going to be saved. You're not going to have to witness to a Jew. Isn't that beautiful? They'll all be saved. They'll all know Jesus Christ as their personal Messiah, Savior, King, Lord. I love that. That is good news indeed. It's a promise. No more Jewish evangelism or missions during that time period. Fifthly, another promise is that all Israel will receive the atonement for sin in the blood of the Lamb. Look at verse 34. He says, and for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Now, there's only one thing that can take away sin, and that is the blood of Messiah, the Lamb of God. And that blood, Zechariah said in chapter 14, in that day, a fountain shall be opened for sin. To who? The house of Israel and the house of Judah. A fountain. That's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that's talking about. They will be washed in the blood, just like we have been. And they will receive the Holy Spirit, just like we have. And they will be redeemed and regenerated spiritually. Glory to God. Now, all Israel will receive this incredible atonement for sin. Isaiah, go with me back from Jeremiah to Isaiah. Isaiah clearly predicted this spiritual regeneration of Israel. In Isaiah chapter 29, don't you just love how the Bible has all this knowledge for us, and all we need to do is pray about it and dig it out? Look at Isaiah chapter 29. Isaiah 29. Look at verse 32. I'm sorry, verse 22. There is no 32, Pastor. Verse 22. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, who redeemed Abraham, concerning who? The house of Jacob. What did we say that means when you see the term Jacob in the Old Testament?
Israel.
That's right. It means physical Jews. Jacob is the name for physical Israel. Israel is the name for spiritual Israel. Now look here in verse 22. Two, therefore thus saith the Lord who redeemed Abraham concerning the house of Jacob. Jacob shall not now be ashamed. No more sin. Neither shall his face now wax pale. But when he seeth his children, the work of mine hands, in the midst of him they shall sanctify my name and sanctify the Holy One of Jacob. That's a term for Messiah, by the way. The Holy One of Israel. And shall fear the God of Israel. See that? They also that add in spirit, they were spiritually wrong, that means, shall come to understanding. They're getting saved. And they that murmured shall learn doctrine. He's saying they're going to be spiritually regenerated. When he says they're going to come to understanding, that's like you Gentiles. When we came to Jesus Christ, we came to our right mind. We came to spiritual understanding that Jesus is the Son of God. He is my Savior. I'm on my way to heaven because he saved me. This is what the Jews are going to acknowledge. Okay? Notice what will cause the national regeneration to occur in chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30. What will cause this regeneration to occur? I'm glad you asked. Look at verse 18. And therefore, will the Lord wait? Folks, time out. You know right now what the Lord's doing concerning His elect nation? Somebody say it. It begins with a W. He's waiting. What's He waiting for? Them to do what? Repent. And receive His Son. Right? He's waiting. Therefore will the Lord wait. Why? That He may be gracious unto you. He's talking to the Jews here, by the way, in the context. Therefore will He be exalted, that He may have mercy upon you, Israel. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for Him. Second Advent. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. You know all those people that Antichrist scattered during the tribulation period? Thou shalt weep no more. No more tears for the Jews? Right now they're under attack. He will be very gracious unto thee. When? At the voice of thy cry, Israel. When He shall hear it, He will answer thee. He's waiting for them to call out to Him. Verse 20, and though the Lord give you the bread of adversity. When's that going to happen? Well, it's been happening for 2,000 years. You know that. Israel's been the most persecuted nation on earth for 2,000 years. But it's going to happen intensely during the 7-year period. And the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore. There's coming a day. But thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand, and when ye turn to the left. That's the Holy Spirit, folks. The Jews are going to receive the Spirit of God. Ye shall defile also the covering of thy graven images of silver, and the ornament of thy molten images of gold. Thou shalt cast them away as a menstruous cloth. Thou shalt say unto it, get thee hence. They're going to repent. You see that? They're going to repent. And verse 23, then shall He give the rain of thy seed. Thou shalt sow the ground withal, and the bread of the increase of the earth, and it shall be fat and plenteous. In that day shall thy cattle feed in large pastures. He goes into great detail about the blessings of the millennium. When shall it occur? Verse 20, when the Lord gives them the bread of adversity and the water of affliction during the tribulation period. He's going to drive them to their knees. Their will be involved, because He's going to push them and push them to the point where they will get down and cry out to Messiah to come. And they will. He will. Next, Isaiah gives us three reasons for Israel's regeneration. First, because God chose her from the beginning to be His elect nation. Look with me in chapter 44 of Isaiah. Chapter 44, they will be regenerated because God chose that nation from the beginning, from their beginning, to be His elect nation. He could have chosen Africa. He could have chosen China. He could have chosen Australia. But He didn't. He chose Israel, right? Look at chapter 44, verse 1. Yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have what?
Chosen.
They are a chosen nation, folks. You can't cut that out of the Bible. Verse 2, thus saith the Lord that made thee. Yeah, from one man, Abraham, and one woman, Sarai, right? And formed thee from the womb. Remember that promise He made to Abraham? You're going to have a baby. You're going to name him Isaac. From the womb of your wife, Sarah, not Hagar, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, physical Jews, my servant, and Jeshurun, whom I have chosen, that's Israel, for I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. Right now, Israel is a dry ground. They have not the Holy Spirit of God, those living waters. I will pour my Spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. That day is coming, folks. Why? First, because He chose that nation, Israel, from the beginning. Second, why will they be regenerated? Because she, Israel, will receive the Holy Spirit of God just as we have. You're still in chapter 44. Look at verse 3. Verse 3 says, and I will pour water, that's living water, upon him that is thirsty, and floods. Not just a little bit. upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit, in case you doubted, upon thy seed, Israel, and my blessing upon thine offspring, and they shall spring up as amongst the grass, as with, look at this, new life is springing up. Miriam and I were driving to church tonight, and we noticed a beautiful, what's the name of that, those trees where the white flowers come right now? What are those called?
Apple blossoms.
Yeah. I think that's what it was.
And clam apples.
The whole tree was white with these beautiful blossoms. And I said, honey, look, new life from God. Isn't it beautiful? Because that tree was so ugly in the winter. But now it's beautiful. This is how Israel will be beautiful with the Holy Spirit. New life as willows of the water courses. No more thirstiness. One shall say, I am the Lord's. And another shall call himself by the name of Jacob. And another shall subscribe with his hand unto the Lord and surname himself by the name of Israel. Glory to God, thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first, I am the last. Beside me there's no God. He's the King. And he's Israel's King. They will receive him. Why? First, because he chose them from the beginning. Second, because they will receive his Holy Spirit. Third, because her sins will be removed from her forever. Look at verse 21, if you're still in 44. Look at verse 21. Remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for thou art my servant. Hey, folks, let me tell you something. Right now, Israel is not serving the Lord, but they are still his elect, chosen nation. You have to understand that. I have formed thee. Thou art my servant, O Israel. Thou shalt not be forgotten of me. Look at this. People say God is done with the Jews. They're wrong. Replacement theologians, you're out of bounds. You don't know your Bible. I will not forget thee. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, they will, for I have redeemed thee. Sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord hath done it. Time out. Who did it?
The Lord.
When Israel gets saved, it's going to be the Lord's doing. It'll be marvelous in our eyes. Listen, shout, ye lower parts of the earth. Break forth into singing, ye mountains, O forests, and every tree therein. Notice, every Jew is getting saved. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and glorified himself in Israel. It's a millennial context, and they're getting born again. Why? First, because he chose them from the beginning. Second, because they received the Holy Spirit. Third, because he's forgiving all of their sins forever. Now, next Isaiah predicts Israel's eternal restoration. Look at chapter 45 of Isaiah. He predicts their eternal restoration, a time when they will never again be uprooted from their own land. Look at verse 17. 45. Verse 17 says, but Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an temporal salvation. No, wrong version. An everlasting salvation. Ye shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. You know what's going to happen, folks, what he's saying here? When he restores Israel to their own land, it'll be an eternal restoration. Even though this world is going to be dissolved, in the new heavens, which we will inhabit, church, and the new earth, which Israel will inhabit, they will own that land on the new earth forever. It will never be dissolved. It will never be destroyed. Because it's an eternal new earth that he's going to create, unlike this filthy one. Aren't you glad? Israel will inherit that forever. I'm so glad I'm part of the bride of Christ and not the elect nation between you and I. Because we got a far greater place. Oh, beloved, we're so blessed. Isaiah predicts this. Jeremiah reveals to us where this spiritual regeneration will occur. Go with me to Jeremiah chapter 24. Where does this regeneration occur? In chapter 24 of Jeremiah, look with me here. We're going to see it clearly in verse number. Well, look at verse 6. Verse 6, for I will set mine eyes upon them. Context is verse 5, Israel, who was carried captive into Babylon. He's restoring them. And he says, well, I will set mine eyes upon them, the Jews, for good. And I will bring them again to this land. And I will build them. and not pull them down. They're not going back to Babylon. And they're not going back to Assyria. And I will plant them and not pluck them up. And I will give them a what? An heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart. Where will this regeneration take place? Within their hearts, just like it did for you. You see this? Folks, listen. Israel is going to be redeemed and regenerated spiritually just like you and I have been. They are going to have the joy of the Lord that we have tonight. They are going to have the Spirit of God that we have tonight. They're going to love this book like we do tonight. All of it. The New Testament included, amen? Glory to God. I'm so glad of that. Now, Jeremiah next prophesies that when Israel will be fully restored to the land, all her sins will be forgiven completely. Look at chapter 50. Jeremiah chapter 50. And look with me in chapter 50 at verse 19. Don't miss this. And I will bring who? Israel. This chapter 50 verse 19. I will bring Israel again to his habitation. Where's that? I wonder. And he shall feed on Carmel and Bashan. You know those places over there in Israel? And his soul shall be satisfied upon Mount Ephraim and Gilead. That's in northern Israel. In those days and in that time, saith the Lord, the iniquity of Israel, the sins of the Jews, shall be sought for, and there shall be none. Wow. And the sins of Judah, and they shall not be found. For I will pardon them whom I reserve. He says, I'm going to take away all their sins. They will not be found. Cast them into the depths of the sea, far as the east is from the west, just like he did for you, Brother Kyle. Amen? Hey, your sins are gone. Whether you realize it or not, they are. Because you've been washed in the blood. The blood removes your sins. You say, what if I sin? You'll break fellowship with God. Don't do it. You'll break fellowship with the Lord. And it's not worth it. We need his divine presence with us every day. Next, Ezekiel also predicts Israel's total regeneration. Look with me in Ezekiel, chapter number 11. Now, Ezekiel 11, folks, is a really powerful chapter. You know what's occurring in Ezekiel 11? Listen, the glory is departing from Israel. And it would be gone for some 2,500 years. Ichabod. Written over the temple at Jerusalem. Look at it. Ezekiel chapter 11. Guess what? The glory is going to return to Israel right from whence it left. I'm going to show you that here. Look at this. In Ezekiel chapter number 11, he predicts their total regeneration in verse 13. Look at it. Verse 13. And it came to pass when I prophesied that Pelatiah, the son of Benaniah, died. Then I fell, the false prophet. Then fell I down upon my face and cried with a loud voice and said, Ah, Lord God, wilt thou make a full end of the remnant of Israel? Never happened. Again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man. I love how the Lord answers when we ask a question. Thy brethren, even thy brethren. Time out. Who is Ezekiel's brethren? What was Ezekiel? Was he African? Was he Chinese? What was Ezekiel?
Jewish!
Son of man, thy brethren, even thy brethren, the men of thy kindred, and all the house of Israel, holy are they unto whom the inhabitants of Jerusalem have said, Get you far from the Lord. Unto us is this land given in possession. Therefore, say, Thus saith the Lord God, Although I have cast them far off amongst the heathen, they are today, and although I have scattered them amongst the countries, yet will I be to them as a little sanctuary in the countries where they shall come. Therefore say, Thus saith the Lord God, I will even gather you, there's a gathering coming, a regathering, from the people, and assemble you, Israel, out of the countries where ye have been scattered. And I will give you the land of Israel. Notice this. It doesn't belong to the Palestinians. Secretary of State Kerry is wrong. He is wrong. The Bible says it belongs to the seed of Israel. And they shall come thither And they shall take away all the detestable things thereof. Yeah, like the Dome of the Rock, Al-Aqsa Mosque, up there on the Temple Mount. That thing's going, let me tell you. The Bible says it's going. The detestable things like that thereof, and all the abominations thereof from thence. And I will give them one heart. Don't miss this. And I will put a new spirit within you. And I will take the stony heart out of their flesh and will give them an heart of flesh, tender. And that they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them. He's going to give them the power within to obey. And they shall be my people and I will be their God. But as for them whose heart walketh after the heart of their detestable things, listen, don't miss this. And their abominations, I will recompense their way upon their own head, saith the Lord God. That's going to take place during the millennium. During the tribulation period. He's going to sift Israel like wheat. All the bad seed is going to be gone. It's going to be destroyed by the Antichrist. He's going to allow it. Why? Because he wants a redeemed people. Those unbelievers, they're going to be crushed during this tribulation period. Verse 22, then did the cherubims lift up their wings and the wheels beside them. And the glory of the God of Israel was over above them. And the glory of the Lord went up from the midst of the city, Jerusalem, and stood upon the mountain, which is on the east side of the city. That's Mount Olivet, folks. That's where he's coming back to. Amen. And afterwards, the Spirit took me up. Listen, the glory departed from Israel here, and it's never returned, but it's going to. Amen? See, replacement theologians read these verses and they say, the glory's departed from Israel. He's done with them. They fail to recognize the rest of the Scripture that says he's coming back to Israel, and the glory shall return to Israel. Look at chapter 11. Look at that. It says right here in verse number 19, I will, that's future tense, give them one heart and I will put a new spirit within you. Glory to God. A day is coming. Israel's total regeneration. Later, Ezekiel promises divine power to obey when this generation occurs. Go to chapter 36, Ezekiel. We're almost done. Chapter 36. In chapter 36, look with me at verse 25. In verse 25, we read these words. Then, now, let's back it up to verse 24 and pick up the context. 24, for I will take you, Israel, from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Did you see that? This is going to occur when a regathering of elect Israel happens. And that will happen when? At the end of the tribulation period. And then, look at the next word, verse 25. Then. He's clearly telling us when this will occur. Then, when they're regathered, will I sprinkle clean water, that's the Holy Spirit, and the Word, the washing of water by the Word, upon you, and ye shall be clean. Wow. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. This is a promise of God. Unconditional. A new heart also will I give you. And a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to what? Walk in my statutes and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. Why? What do they now have that they don't have today? Power to obey. It's the Holy Spirit, folks. You know what you need? Just like same thing I need. Power to obey this book. I can't do it, but the Holy Spirit within me has the power to cause me to walk in a sanctified way. It's the Holy Spirit's power and not our own. Now listen, Hosea clearly spoke of this coming day. Look with me in Hosea, flip forward from Ezekiel, just past Daniel, you'll hit the little minor prophet, which is quite major, named Hosea. Look in Hosea, chapter number 1. Watch what he says. verse 8, but let's back up to verse 7 for a minute. But I will have mercy upon who? House of Judah. And will save them by the Lord their God. Oh, I love this. The Lord is talking, and he says, I will save them by the Lord. That's good stuff. The Father talking about the Son. The Lord their God. And will not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor by nuclear weapons, Mr. Putin, nor by battle, by horses, nor by horsemen. Now when she had weaned, Lo Ruhamah, she conceived and bare a son. Then said God, call his name Lo Amai. That name means not my people. He tells Hosea that his wife Lo Ruhamah would have a son. And I want you to name that boy Lo Ami. Lo Ami. Imagine naming your kid not my people. That's what he did. Not my people. For ye are not my people. Hey man, Israel today, they're not saved. They die. They go to hell. I hate to say it. These preachers get up and say, oh, all Jews are going to heaven. No, they're not. No, they're not. If they're not saved, they're not going to heaven. They need to be born again just like you and me. And they will be the ones who survive the tribulation period. For ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. Yet, that's a state of unbelief, right? Yet, watch what he says. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea. What? See, folks get confused because they don't know God. Yet the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, and which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, lo am I, there it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God. That day is coming, folks. Then shall the children of Judah and the children of Israel be gathered together and appoint themselves one head. Somebody tell me, who is that head?
Jesus.
Messiah, Jesus Christ. He will be their one head, the Messiah. And they shall come up out of the land, for great shall be the day of Jezreel. Say ye unto your brethren, Ami. You know what that means? Ami means ye are my people. And to your sister, Ruhamah. Glory to God. He says the day's coming when you're not going to be called Lo Ami no more. You're going to be called Ami. Ye are my people. Oh, folks, Hosea clearly predicts their national regeneration. Again, he does it in chapter 14. Hosea 14. Look at this. He goes through the entire book, absolutely ripping Israel apart, lambasting them for their sins of idolatry. And look what he says in the closing chapter. This is incredible stuff. Chapter 14, verse 4. I will heal their backsliding. Who's talking in verse 4? God. The God of Israel. I will love them freely. That's another word for unconditional. For my anger is turned away from him. You know when God the Father's anger is going to be turned away from Israel? When they accept his son. Same thing with you, beloved. Verse 5. I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. New life. His branches shall spread, and his beauty shall be as the olive tree, and his smell as Lebanon. They that dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall revive. Somebody's getting new life. As the corn, and grow as the vine that he planted. The scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim shall say, what have I to do any more with idols? They now have something better, the Holy Spirit. I have heard him and observed him. I am like a green fir tree. From me is thy fruit found. He says there's coming a day when Israel will never again turn to idolatry because they will know the Lord from the least of them to the greatest. Joel gives us the timing of her national generation. Clearly, go over, flip the page, you'll be in Joel chapter 2. The timing of this national regeneration of Israel is given. Joel chapter 2. Look at verse 28. Here's some incredible, incredible passages here. It shall come to pass afterward. Now, time out, church. The context of Joel chapter 2 is the tribulation period. So when he says afterward, He's talking about after Daniel's 70th week, okay? And it shall come to pass afterward, after the 7 years, on the last day, that I will what? Pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Now, time out, church. How many preachers have you heard get up and preach this context and say, oh, see, the Gentiles are getting the Holy Spirit. So what he's saying, there's no Gentiles in sight in this passage, folks. This is speaking about Israel, the elect nation, getting saved. If you're saved, you're not going to be here at this time. You're going to be coming back with the Lord. Glory to God on white horses. And I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Yeah, Jewish flesh. And your sons, Israel, and your daughters shall prophesy. When? Not now. How many guys get up and preach, if you can't speak in tongues and you can't prophesy, you're not saved? And they quote this passage to prove it. It's not even talking about them. It's talking about Israel. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids, that's of Israel, in those days will I pour out my spirit. They're being born again, folks. And I will show wonders in the heavens. Oh, they don't like to quote this part because it doesn't line up with their false theology. Otherwise, this would be happening today. Watch, I will show signs in the heavens, wonders in the earth, blood, fire, and pillars of smoke. I'm looking out the window here, folks, and I don't see any of that occurring right now. Maybe he's not talking about right now, huh? Verse 31, the sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass, context, great tribulation, that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be what? It doesn't say saved, folks. The word begins with a D. They're getting delivered from somebody who's trying to off their heads. That's the Antichrist. You see that? They don't need salvation right here. They need deliverance from Antichrist. Look at verse 32. For in Mount Zion, in Jerusalem, shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Glory to God, the timing is clear. End of the tribulation period. Next, Micah speaks of it. Go with me to Micah, chapter number 7. Just after Jonah and Amos, you'll find Micah. Micah chapter 7. It's amazing how all the prophets speak of this coming day. Over and over and over, the same Holy Spirit gives them the same message. Micah chapter 7. In some cases, it's almost verbatim the same message. Micah 7, look at verse 18. Don't miss this. Look at verse 16. The nation shall see and be confounded at all their might. They shall lay their hand upon their mouth. Their ears shall be deaf. Yeah, the second coming. And they shall lick the dust like a serpent. Yeah, all Antichrist, ugly bunch. They shall move out of their holes like worms of the earth. Time out, church. Don't you love how the Holy Spirit describes them? Bunch of worms coming out of their earth holes. Man, oh man, the world's full of them right now. They shall be afraid of the Lord our God and shall fear because of thee. You better believe it. Who is a God like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? That's Israel. He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. Aren't you glad? He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. Micah says. Micah was a Jew. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Thou wilt perform the truth to who? Jacob. It's Israel, folks. They're getting redeemed. And the mercy to Abraham. Remember that promise he made to that man named Abraham? Which thou hast sworn unto our fathers from the days of old. Micah says, boys, I've got good news. God is going to keep his promise that he made to old Abraham, our patriarch father. And he will. He will. Zephaniah spoke of a forgiven and restored Israel. Go with me. Flip forward. Just before Haggai. And just after Habakkuk, you'll find the little book of Zephaniah. Zephaniah speaks of forgiveness and restoration for Israel. In chapter 3, quickly, got to finish up. Chapter 3, look at verse 9. Verse 8, therefore wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey. Antichrist is going to be a prey. He's going to feed him to the birds of the air, folks. For my determination is to gather the nations that I may assemble the kingdoms to pour upon them mine indignation. He will. Even all my fierce anger. That's a scary thought. For all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. Why is he so angry? Because they've trodden down his elect nation. And he's coming back with his sleeves rolled up. Verse 9, for then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may all, notice that little word, A-L-L, all call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent, Israel. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my suppliants, even the daughter of my dispersed, shall bring mine offspring. In that day shalt thou not be ashamed for all thy doings wherein thou hast transgressed against me. For then I will take away out of the midst of thee them that rejoice in thy pride, and thou shalt no more be haughty because of my holy mountain. Wow! What a powerful, powerful passage we have here. Glory to God. Zephaniah, look at verse 12. I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. He's talking about those who survived the tribulation period, folks. Jews. The remnant of who? Verse 13. The remnant of who? Israel. Shall do not do iniquity, nor speak lies. They neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouths, for they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid anymore. Why? They're restored, they're forgiven, they're regenerated, and the Lord is loving on them, and they are loving on Him. Finally, tonight, I promise, Paul spoke specifically of a total regeneration of all living Jews upon the completion of the church age calling of the Gentiles. Romans chapter number 11. Look at it. Romans chapter 11. Both testaments prophesy this day. Okay? In Romans chapter number 11, Romans 9, 10, and 11 are three indispensable chapters of God's holy word. Come on in, brother. Praise the Lord. Yeah, amen. In Romans chapter 11, you have to have these three chapters straight in order for your doctrine and your theology to line up with God's word, folks. Romans 9, 10, and 11 deals with who? Israel. It's right smack dab in the middle of the book of Romans, which is a book to the church. Do you think it's important for the church to know what God wants us to know about His elect nation, Israel? Yes, it is. Look in chapter 11 of Romans. Look with me at verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that's Christians, not Jews, Christians, that ye should be ignorant, that's unknowing, of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in total, is that what it says? No, blindness in part hath happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Notice the until in verse number 25. The day is coming where the veil will be lifted, folks. Verse 26, and so all Israel shall be saved. When, Paul? Look at verse 25. After all the Gentiles are come in that should be saved. You see that? The context is clearly the end of the church age dispensation of grace. At that time, he says in verse 26, all Israel shall be saved. So as is written, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, capital D. That's Messiah. And he will deliver them from the Antichrist. And shall turn away ungodliness from who? The Gentiles. No, replacement theologian, you're wrong. From Israel. Jacob, physical Jews. For this is my covenant, Here's what I want you to see tonight, church. The new covenant with Israel. This is my covenant unto who? Them. Not to you. To them. Whoever this is he's talking about, it's to them. When I shall take away their sins. He's talking to the church about somebody else. Verse 28. As concerning the gospel, they, the Jews today, are enemies for your sakes. How many of you knows today that the Jews are enemies of the gospel? They hate the gospel. They're enemies of it. But, don't miss this. But as touching the election. Question, church. What election? The elect bride? Is that talking about the elect bride? No, Carol said. Elect what?
Elect Israel.
Elect nation. That's talking about the elect nation. Watch what he says, verse 28. As concerning the gospel, these unbelieving Jews today are enemies of you, for your sakes. But as touching the election, watch, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. He's saying when he chose Israel to be his elect nation, for this world, he didn't change his mind when they rejected his son. Okay? He still has them in his crosshairs, folks. He's going after them and he will get them to receive his son. Verse 34. As ye, Gentiles, in time past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, even so have these also now not believed. These Jews in Israel. That through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. Why? 32. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief. Israel is in unbelief today. Look at the rest of the verse. Why? That the day is coming that he might have mercy upon all. Paul is saying there's coming a day when all Jews all over the world will come to salvation in Yeshua, Messiah, HaMashiach, the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That day is coming. If you read these verses aright by the Holy Spirit of God, you will see that he is talking about the Jewish nation coming to salvation corporately. As a whole, amen? And this will occur, folks, without question. Now, the new covenant is spoken of here in verse 27. That one we read about in Jeremiah 31. And it's being made with a nation. It's not talking about the Gentiles. We're already under a covenant with God, amen? A covenant of grace, glory to God. The new covenant in verse 28, which election is the elect nation. Not the elect bride, but the elect nation Israel. Now, watch this. In verse 29, Paul states that God does not change his mind when he calls. Amen? And that includes the calling of a nation, even though that nation falls into a period of unbelief. Don't miss this. The day is coming when every single living Jew will receive regeneration. In 1948, a nation was born in a day. Amen? Israel. But soon and very soon, she will be reborn in a day. Glory to God. Father in heaven, how we thank you tonight for these amazing passages of Holy Writ. How we thank you, Lord, that you don't change your mind. How we thank you tonight that you are a consistent God. That you always do what you promise to do. You never go back on your word. That means that we today can trust you with all of our hearts and lean not to our own understanding. We can know that Jesus Christ is my Savior and He will take care of me today and tomorrow and forevermore. I may boldly say the Lord is mine helper and I will not fear. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you've not changed your mind concerning your elect bride. The church, we are saved forevermore because of your promises in the blood of Christ. And thank you, Lord, that you have not changed your mind concerning your elect nation, that they will be saved one day, soon, very soon, They will be regenerated as we are. What a day that will be. Paul said, if the riches of the Gentiles be the falling away of Israel, what shall their fullness be? It is going to be glory. Lord, thank you for it tonight. And thank you for the first facet of the restoration of Israel, which is her national regeneration. In Jesus' name we pray. And the people said, amen. Amen. Let's grab our hymnals, folks. We'll close with a hymn tonight. Thank you, Lord. Open up your hymnals, church, to 332. We'll stand for the singing of our final hymn, 332. A most amazing hymn it is. Joe Pox. And we will sing the first, the third, and the fourth.
Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Oh, 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 sometimes it causes me to tremble. Crucified my Lord. On the third, were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Were you there when they laid him in the tomb?
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble, tremble. Were you there when they laid him in the tomb?
Thank you, Lord Jesus. On the fourth,
were you there when he rose up from the grave? Were you there when he rose up from the grave? It causes me to tremble, tremble, tremble. Were you there when he rose up from the
glory to God. Aren't you glad that he did, church? He rose for you and I, for our justification. Glory to God. Brother Lucas, good to see you tonight. Dismiss us in prayer, if you would. And we'll see you Wednesday night.
So I'm eating dinner. Dear Father, thanks for letting me come out here and get to the last part of the service. And I want to pray, please get everybody home safely and get everybody back here next week. In Jesus'
Christ's name. Amen. Praise the Lord, people. See you Wednesday. Lord willing.
Bruh. I need to talk to you about
something. Yes, sir.